chapter 20. This is our New Testament book that we're studying through together. And I've come to Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse number 17. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on verse 17 down through verse 38. We will only get started this morning. I remind you, as you're finding your place in the Word of God, of the Sunday School Workers Meeting tonight. If you work in Sunday school in any facet, whether you're a teacher, secretary, a group captain in the adult classes, greeter, it makes no difference. If you are a worker in Sunday school, superintendents, all of you, would you raise your hand, please? You work in Sunday school in some form or fashion. If you have your hand raised, God willing, I'll see you tonight at 5:30, okay? Please be right in your place, and I encourage you to be here ready to be engaged in this upcoming big day as we're approaching Friend Day with Dr. Ron Comfort. We're excited about this. I'm going to be giving the details for that, so you be right in your place. Make sure leaders of the class, like adult teachers, and then superintendents, make sure all of your workers are informed of this meeting tonight, and do everything you can to get them here at 5:30. Please, this is one of the responsibilities, this is one of the characteristics, it's one of the qualifications of being a leader. If you're working in Sunday school, then be at the teachers' meetings. You've got to be here. So let me encourage you to be here as we get on the same page for this. Acts chapter 20, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. Acts chapter 20, and look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he," that's Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Today I want to begin a message, and I'll be honest with you, it's going to take us a while to get through this message. There's so much in it. I'm not talking about the message today, I'm talking about the total thing. And right here you'll notice that Paul calls for the Ephesian elders. And through this chapter, he's speaking to these elders of these churches here in this area. So I'm preaching a message that I've entitled, Paul's Meeting with the Elders. Paul's Meeting with the Elders. Let's pray together. This will be part one today. Father, would you help us today, please? Challenge us from the Word of God. Thank you for the music today that uplifts our hearts, that prepares us for the message of God. Pray for the children's churches, the bus teen church, all of it going on, the nursery, preschool, all of it. Would you breathe upon it? Help me as I preach now. I need you today in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, we read how Paul called the elders of the church. Now, these elders were those who were put in authority in the local church. These elders would be what you would call a pastor today. He calls the pastors together, the elders, those that are in authority in the local church. And in this meeting, we'll read some wonderful things that all of us can apply to our own lives. These things can be challenging. They can be comforting. And they can also be convicting. And all of these things center around the Apostle Paul. And as we travel through this passage, I want to ask you to ask the Lord to give you an understanding of what's happening. And be determined to learn what the Lord desires for you to learn. And then apply it to your own life today. Now we're only going to get started with major point number one today. Not even going to get through it, but this is all we're going to get to today. Just part of number one. The first thing we notice in this meeting that Paul had with the elders. Number one, we notice Paul's description. Now, we're not going to get any further than verse number 21, so let me pick up my reading in verse number 18. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." We'll get no further than that today. In these verses that I just began to read with you, we read how Paul, in this meeting with these Ephesian elders, just begins to describe himself. He's describing himself here. And when we walk through this description, it ought to challenge us by what Paul says. And we ought to be determined to learn from his example and become all that the Lord wants us to become. Now, there's three things I want to give you today in these verses that I gave you here. This is all under Paul's description. He's describing himself. And these are things that we need to challenge your own life with. They're simple, but yet they're profound. And if the Lord will help us, this will help us become more and more like Him, no doubt about it. The first thing we notice in Paul's description, number one under this, letter A if you're keeping notes, he was open, faithful, and consistent. Let me say it again. He was open, he was faithful, and he was consistent. We see this in verse number 18. He opens his comments up by reminding them how they knew from the first day that he came into Asia. Notice it now. He said, you know from the first day that we came, that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been among you at all seasons. What's he saying here? In other words, he reminding them here how he lived and acted from the very first day he arrived at all seasons, the whole time he was with them. This goes to show that he was open to them. He was an open book is what I'm saying. He was faithful and he was consistent in his Christian life. Now let me talk about this just a little bit. Somebody said honest ministries can be open and candid. It's evil ministries that keep the people in the dark as to what's going on. Good ministries do not object to being inspected. They welcome it in order to manifest the integrity of their character and the validity of their message. But evil ministries want no checking of the books, no examinations, no inspections of character and message. In other words, when Paul said, you know who I am, you have seen me live among you from the very first day at all seasons. You have seen who I am. My life is an open book. I'm a man of character. I'm a man of integrity. And there's nothing I'm keeping in the dark from you. Would to God that God's Christians were that open and that candid and had that much character and that much integrity today that there's nothing in hiding, nothing in secret in our lives. I wonder today, are you a man or a woman who's open? Everybody sees who you really are. You're not one thing at church and another thing at home. No, no, no. You're not one thing at church and another thing at work. No, no, no. You are the same every day of the week. That's the Apostle Paul. He was open. Then he goes on to say, at all seasons. You know what this tells me? This tells me here that Paul was not only a man of integrity when things were going good, but he was a man of integrity at all seasons of life. He was a man who stayed that way all the time. He was the same every day of the week and at all seasons of the year. He was not one thing in the church house and another thing in the community or another thing in his own house. May I say this, God deliver us from dishonesty, lack of character, lack of integrity. He was a faithful and consistent Christian in his life and in his ministry. You know, speaking about just being faithful, just being a man of integrity and just being faithful, one man said it this way, this may not be a spectacular thing in the eye, this may not be a spectacular thing in the eyes of the flesh, but it will be an effective thing in regards to ministering the Word of God. One thing all of God's children can be is you can be a man or woman of integrity, a man or woman of character, and you can be one faithfully. You can be one at all seasons of life. He's describing himself. And he's saying, you know me. You know who I was from the first day I came into town At all seasons I was with you, I was faithful, I had character, I was a man of integrity, I put everything out on the table, I didn't keep anything hidden from you, and no matter what was going on in my life, at all seasons of life, on the mountaintop, in the valley, in between, I just kept plowing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now folks, I'm going to tell you something. If this church will grab what I just said, if you'll grab just that truth right there, there's no telling what God will do with this local church. Number one, he was open, faithful, and consistent. Number two, verse 19. It's simple, simple truths. But into the simple truths that change our lives, right? He's open, faithful, consistent, number one. Number two, verse 19, he served the Lord. Notice it, verse number 19, serving the Lord. With all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. The word served here means to be in bondage to. Look it up. It means to be a slave to. Look here, please. Everybody's in bondage to something. Everybody's a slave to something. You are serving something or someone. I am serving something or someone by our own choice. And Paul makes this statement, I am a slave. I am in bondage to the Lord. And in this, Paul is saying he voluntarily had given himself over to serve the Lord as long as he lived. Today, many would have to say they're serving self or serving somebody else or serving something else. But with Paul, he was serving the Lord. His commitment's not, right here, is not to his own personal gain, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not serving a denomination, but he's serving deity. Look here, please. My wife and I are here to serve you, but that's not our priority. That's not why we're here first. We're here to serve you because we've given our life to serve Him. And because we serve Him, He wants the pastor to give his life to serve the flock. But if I ever get to the point to where I'm just serving you, it won't last. But if I get to the point, and I hope I'm there, where I'm saying I'm serving Jesus, I'm a slave to God. I'm in bondage to the Lord. I'll never complain about what He gives me to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:6, talking about integrity, going back to the first point, it says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that's perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And here in serving the Lord, Paul goes on to detail his serving the Lord. He says, I've given my life as a slave to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I want to be a slave to Jesus. Let me tell you why. He's a good master. He's not going to abuse me. He's not going to give me something I can't handle. He's not going to make my life miserable. No, He's a good God. And I say this to you, if you tie yourself down to yourself, if you tie yourself down to somebody else or something else outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will use you and they will abuse you. But Jesus, He will never abuse you, but He will bless you and He will use you for His glory. And that's a privilege. And may I say this to you, I'm glad He didn't stop here. He didn't just say, I'm serving the Lord. He detailed his service. Look at it, verse 19. He gives two things that summarized how he's serving the Lord. Look what he says here. He says in verse 19, serving the Lord, letter A under it, here it is, with all humility of mind. What does that mean? He says here that he's serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He reminds them that he was not arrogant. He was not prideful in his service to the Lord. And oh, how we need this same humility of mind today. The humility of mind realizing that it's not God's privilege to have me. No, no, no. It is my privilege to know Him. And it's my privilege to serve Him. Harry Ironside put it this way. He said, when people used to crowd around George Whitefield and they would praise him because of his marvelous preaching, he would stop them like this. He'd say, the devil told me that just before I came down from the pulpit. Then he would add, there are many who can preach the gospel better than I, but none can preach a better gospel. It's the message that counts. The servant is really nothing. And the more we realize this, and the more we're willing to take our place of nothingness, the more God delights to come in and work through His servants. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Let me tell you what there's so much of today in my life, so much of today in your life, and so much of today in God's churches and in God's people. It's a word that begins with P, and it's the word pride. God delivers from pride. God deliver us from thinking we're better than we are. God deliver us from thinking that we're the best thing since sliced bread. God help us to have the spirit of Paul here to say, I have tied myself down as a bondslave to Jesus Christ, and I'm serving Him in humility of mind. God wants humble servants, not proud servants. Secondly, he says a second thing here. This will help some people, I hope. It's helped me. I hope it'll help you. He says in verse number 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, notice this now, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He's saying all this about how he served God. He said, I'm serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and I'm serving Him with many tears and with many temptations that befalls me. The word many here means that these things came upon him often. And he says there were many tears and many temptations. The word tears, look it up, it means sorrow. And the word temptation means test, trials. Get this. This goes to show that serving the Lord, Paul is saying this, I am serving the Lord with many sorrows and with many testings and trials and temptations. In other words, he's saying this. By the way, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul's life, did he have sorrow? Did he cry a lot? Were there a lot of tears involved? Was his heart broken? Yes, yes, yes. Were there temptations and testings and trials? Yes, yes, yes. He was stoned and beaten alive and shipwrecked and all these other kind of things. But he said through it all, no matter what comes in my life, whether my heart is breaking or whether my heart is cheerful, or whether I'm in no testings, life is on a mountaintop, or whether I'm in the greatest test of my life and my life is in the valley, I am resolved that I'm going to serve God no matter what comes to my life. One man said the attacks upon Paul and his work were not trivial attacks, which he could laugh off. They were cruel, they were bloody, they were life-imperiling. The pain he experienced was very severe, and it was not just physical pain, it was also emotional pain. Now, when you put these first two things together, he's describing himself, where he says, First of all, right here, we're just talking about this text that he was open, he was faithful, he was consistent, he was a man of integrity who held nothing back, and he did it at all seasons, not just in the church house, but in his own house, in his community. He was the same man of character every day of life, at all seasons of life. And then he says here, I've made this, I'm serving the Lord, I'm a bond slave to Jesus. With all humility of mind, I'm humble about it, and I'm doing it in the middle of tears, and I'm doing it in the middle of temptations. You put those all together, let me summarize what he's saying before I go to point three. You put these two descriptions together, we're challenged that Paul, get this, Paul, in humility of mind, served the Lord faithfully, even through tears and temptations, to the point that others could attest to his integrity at all seasons. Did you hear what I just said? Let me say it again. We are challenged in these first two descriptions that Paul, in humility of mind, served the Lord faithfully, even through tears and testings, to the point that others could attest to his integrity at all seasons. That's a good place to say, wow. Oh, me. Woe is me. I want to ask you a question. Have you resolved to serve the Lord no matter what? No matter what? I want to share with the church some things, because I feel led to do it. I'm just going to wait till tonight. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and share it with you today. There are four of us among you who have some testing coming up. One of them is Brother Jack Mosier, sitting right here. He goes tomorrow morning. God willing, I'll be there, pray with him, to have a heart catheterization done, and we're praying for you, sir. I want you to know that. Praying for you. One of them is Johnny Saylor. There are others, you understand, but these are four that I wanted to mention especially. Johnny's dealing with cancer. Been in the hospital, running a fever, extreme pain. I was with him this week. Roger and Sandy Cox were there, and others may have gone too, but I know they were there because I was there the same time that they were, a little bit later. They're doing a fabulous job in the cancer ministry. I appreciate that. God bless them. They're running tests on him. Hopefully everything's okay, but pray for Johnny Saylor. Scott Martin, he's here with us. Where is Scott? I know he's here. God bless you, sir. I'm praying for these people. I got them on my daily prayer list. Scott had a melanoma taken off his head. Melanoma. He goes Thursday to the surgeon to set up surgery, and they're going to go in and start digging deeper and so on, all these kind of things. It's the waiting game. And with Brother Scott here, I want him to know I'm praying specifically that they'll get all of it at one time, period, and you're done with it. That's what I'm praying. God's been dealing with my heart. One thing he's been dealing with me about is in the book of James. I've just been reading through the book of James. I didn't go looking for it, just my devotional reading. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You have not, because you ask not." And I found myself saying, "Lord, I'm asking you for some things this week. I'm asking some things." Me as your pastor, they have found a lesion on my liver. Now, don't alarm yourself, but I want the church to know about this because I covet your prayers like I know these other men covet your prayers. Now, from what I understand about this, these things are common. And am I alarmed? It's an emotional roller coaster. Can I be honest with you? I'm up and I'm down. My faith is strong. Sometimes I'm scared to death. I'm a human being, you know, friends. But I know God is doing something in my life. I'm trusting that it's nothing. I'm asking God specifically, "Lord, may it be nothing." And more than likely, it's not. You understand? I've been struggling about telling you or not because I didn't want to alarm you. But I want you to pray that the Lord's will be done. I go tomorrow at 3:45. Should find out something Tuesday or Wednesday. Can I tell you how God's speaking to me? I'm not crying because of fear. I'm crying because I know God's in this thing. Today in my devotional reading, I was reading in the Proverbs. I'm trying to read a proverb a day, and In that particular proverb, the Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version, obviously, that's what we're using around here, you know. It referenced something in the middle of the column, and it sent me to Psalm 112. I said, I think I'll go see what that verse is about. And it was for me. Here's what it said. Psalm 112, verse 7. Listen to this. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I read that and I knew. I knew God was speaking to me. And I'm going to tell you something. I know something about these men. And I want to tell you something about your pastor too. If it's good, I'm serving God. If it comes back bad, I'm still serving God. And I know Scott says the same thing. I know Brother Jack says the same thing. I know Johnny Saylor says the same thing. And I'm telling you something. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, I've had many tears, I've had many testings, I've had many trials, I've had many temptations, but I want you to know something. My heart is fixed. I'm serving God until He calls me home. Have you made that same commitment? Have you made that same decision? You know what? I think God's telling me to shut it down right here. I was going to give you a third, and I'm not going to do it. Because I sense the Holy Ghost of God moving in this auditorium. This is not something spooky. He's inside of us who are saved. He's already here. You brought Him with you today. I'm talking about where He's dealing. He's working. He's moving. Last night at that youth rally, when the pastor shouting about scared me to death, you know what I mean? Whoop! Said, this man just got saved. God dealt with my heart. You know what He told me? You know what He asked me? He said, do you want the power of God? I said, yes, sir. I want your power. And he asked, if it means anything. And by faith, I hope I've arrived. And I hope I can say yes. God wants to help you today. God is helping me. He's helping me. Brother Jack, God's going to do something for you, sir. I don't know what it is. Just like I don't know what it is for me. Brother Scott, God's going to do something for you. If Johnny's listening, if somebody lets him hear this later, God's doing something in his life. Aren't you glad that no matter what comes in your life, God's in control? God knows what He's doing, and our lives are in His hands. By the way, folks, don't feel sorry for us. These tears, it's how God ministers to me. These tears are God helping me. These tears, and oh, he's scared to death. Oh, look, he's weeping. He's crying. He's scared to death. No. These tears is the Holy Spirit of God coming by and saying, I got this, boy. I got it. Amen. Let him have it. It may not be a physical problem in your life. Maybe it's a marriage problem. Maybe it's an emotional problem. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a financial problem. I'm just here to tell you as your pastor that God's doing something. And we can trust Him. Now I'm trusting, honestly, I'm trusting that everything will be fine with me. You say, well, I already know nothing. Not everything's fine with you. I know, I get it. You're taught mentally though, right? But we've got to be prepared to serve God no matter what. That's Paul. Do you at least understand these thoughts today? Yes? And I want you to understand something with these four requests I gave you. That's not to burden you down. No. Please. That's not to burden you down. That's us telling you we love you. We covet your prayers. Would you pray that God's will be done? And I know you will. And we ask God to do what only God can do. Amen or not this morning? I want you to bow your head with me for just a moment. Would you do that? Bow your head, close your eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I'll ask you to be very still. As they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. But I wonder today, is God speaking to you? I wonder today, first of all, do you know Jesus? Or are you like that gentleman? Are you like that man who came to the youth service? He came to a teen service. He may have been the oldest person there last night. I don't know that for sure, but he could very well have been the oldest person there last night. And God pricked his heart and said, you need to be saved. It could be the Lord's doing the same thing with you. Maybe he's pricking your heart and saying, you need to be saved. Is there somebody today as they begin to play through softly, you say, Pastor Jody, you're talking to me. I do not know for sure that heaven's my home. I do not know for sure that if I die today that I'm going home to heaven. I don't know that. But would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I would not call you out for anything on planet Earth. But you say, Brother Jody, I'm concerned that I'm lost. I'm not on my way to heaven. Or I'm concerned I'm not. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody, you say, pray for me. I need to make sure I'm saved. I want to know the Lord as my personal Savior. Okay, let me ask you this question. You say, Brother Jody, I'm a Christian and I know it. When you're talking about the Apostle Paul and how he was a man of integrity and character, and he was faithful at all seasons of life, and he determined that he's going to serve the Lord even through tears and temptations, which means testings, trials. It doesn't mean solicitation to evil. It means there's a trial that came. There's a testing that came. Have you say, Brother Jody, God's speaking to me. This message helped me. Let me ask it that way. If you say, Pastor Jody, this message helped me. I needed this. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? This message helped you today. It helped you. Amen. Amen. That's a lot of you. My Brother Gary to begin to sing here in just a moment. And if this message helped you, come and let God know about it. He knows, I know, but just come and respond and say, Lord, I needed that today. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to me. May the will of God be done. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. May you be pleased with everything that's said and everything that's done. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God has spoken to you and you want to come, I want you to come now. Would you please, as he sings?
Have thine own way, Lord.
God help you today.
Have thine own way.
Come talk to him about it.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Keep singing, Brother Gary, as God deals you.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try. Master today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.
This is Anita Callahan. It's Brother Buddy's wife. She's been seeking the Lord about this and believes that the Lord would have her become a member of our church. She knows the Lord. She's been baptized scripturally. And she wants to join our church by statement. We've met with her about this. I'm so excited about this. God bless you. What's the privilege of the church that we accept her into our membership? Could I see something there? Brother Artie? Brother Steve Mullins? All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. God bless you. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Amen. I hope you'll stay right there, you and Buddy, and folks come by and visit with you there. This is Jessica. She wants to come back to the Lord. I'm glad that when we go astray, the Father's arms are always open. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. She's coming to rededicate her life to Jesus. And I told her this is a serious decision. God doesn't play games. And if she's serious, so is He. And I'm excited for you to let the Lord have His way. Amen? We're thrilled about this. You happy for that? Say amen. Now, we're dealing with people. We're dealing with them. I believe the gospel's being presented in more than one location right now. Here in this auditorium. That's a wonderful thing. So let's give them time. Can we do that? Matter of fact, I got done a little bit early today. Don't get used to that, okay? But if you'll be seated for just a moment, Brother Gary is going to come. We may sing here in just a little bit, okay?
I've just asked the pastor if we could come as a fellowship and pray for him. And, of course, Brother Scott, Brother Jack. So I'd like to do that, and he's okayed that. So, Brother Jack, Brother Scott, if you'll come. And, Pastor, I'd like you to come and kneel right here, if you would. And, men, I'd like you to come and gather around the pastor, Brother Jack and Scott. I think we prayed for you guys last week, and we're going to do it again here. But I am impressed. I feel to really have a special time for our pastor. Again, it may be nothing, but he has a responsibility to us. We have a responsibility to him, and I think this is one of them. So, men, you come on, and let's gather around these men, and we'll have a season of prayer for them, and then we'll be dismissed. Actually, after we pray, we may have time to talk about these that receive Christ. So, but men, come on around, and Brother Steve Mullins, if you would, let me give you a microphone. Brother Steve, if you'll come around. Men, just come all around Pastor here. Let's lay our hands on him. And Brother Steve, we are praying for Pastor, obviously, but Brother Scott and Brother Jack also, as the Lord leads you.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for being there for us through the good, through the bad, all through life. God, you've promised you'll hold our hand even as we walk in the valley. We pray that you touch the doctors, give them wisdom. We pray that you touch these men, and if it be your will, you heal them and just say there's nothing there and it is fixed. God, you have the power to do that. And we're asking you right now to touch in a special way our pastor. Healing him if he needs healing. God, we're praying that it's nothing and that you'd give them peace. God, it's hard. We have to have strong faith when we're walking down in that valley. Some days it's hard. Some days it's easier. Lord, I pray that you touch in a special way. Help us all here in our church to continue to pray. Lift these men up. Hold them up. God, we're going to hold them up before you. Lord, we just pray that you touch in a special, special way. God, we love you and thank you. We praise your name. Thank you for the Holy Spirit as he's hovered today. How he used Jody again to speak to people in a special meeting there with young people. This man that was saved. God, you're still in the saving business. And we thank you for that. Help us to be faithful. Help us to always walk with our hand in yours. Guide us and lead us. Give these men peace. Heal if it's your will. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Hey, we're going a little overtime. Everybody okay with that? We're dealing with some folks here, so praise the Lord. while we're doing this, coming to a close, we remind all the Sunday school workers meeting at 5:30. Please be right in your place. Clark family, be with us. We've had them the last couple of years or so, and God used them, and every time they come, we're looking forward to that tonight in the evening service. Just about done, okay? Just wait on us for just a moment here, okay? This is Michael, and he does know the Lord as his Savior. He nailed that down, and he wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, so praise the Lord for that. This is Eve, right? This is Eve over here. She came today and got assurance of her salvation, so we praise the Lord for that. God bless her. And this is Charles here. He knows the Lord but came to rededicate his life to Jesus, correct? So the Lord's worked among us today. We give him praise for it. Amen. God bless you. I hope many of you will come by and let these folks know that you're glad they came today. Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thank you for being here. Brother Tony Estep, if you don't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.